just want everybody to realize it was hot in here before I started talking. We're going to continue our series with on the Sermon on the Mount, talking tonight about the merciful. Beatitudes are a description of the characteristics that should belong to us in Christ's kingdom. And, Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus was telling those that were listening that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He healed diseases. He healed afflictions among the people. And as Jesus is doing these things, he is declaring the law. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The word mercy is used in the Gospel of Matthew to refer to showing compassion. It's meant to show pity or meant to show favor, especially toward those that are suffering and those that are needy. Some of the passages that we see referencing this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, says that just as Jesus passed from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And also in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that region came and was crying, said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." In Matthew chapter 17, verse 15, another case where someone cries out, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers terribly." Matthew 18, 33, "And shouldn't you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have mercy on you?" Matthew 20, verse 30, "There are two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard passing by, they cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David.'" So these is just a real quick smattering of what we see in Matthew, where people are crying out to Jesus. They realize that he has the power to have mercy on them, and they would be crying out this way because they believe that there's something that he can do for them. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, which was read tonight, which we won't take time to reread, but it's one of the more familiar parables that we see, and Ashley mentioned it in his prayer tonight. But what we see is in this parable is that there were people that should have shown mercy that didn't. The priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side of the road. They did not offer any assistance. But when the Samaritan comes to the man's aid, takes him to an inn, pays for his care, then Jesus asks, "Which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor?" Because that was the initial question that was used, that was posed to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus told this story to show who the neighbor was. And obviously, we know who it was that proved to be the neighbor. The lawyer correctly responded, the one who showed mercy. And so what we see here in this case is that mercy is showing compassion, it's showing pity, it's showing favor. So that tells us that mercy is not just a feeling. One of my earliest memories of mercy is, you play mercy with your brothers. You're grabbing each other's hand and twisting fingers and stuff until somebody cries mercy, mercy, and you hope that they give you some mercy. That's really not what we're talking about here. Mercy is not some detached feeling, or it's not some sentiment that's, be warm and be filled. I have mercy towards you. No, it's something that does something. It causes an individual to act. And so the lawyer in the story of the prodigal son rightly identified, who was it that showed mercy? Who was the one that proved to be a neighbor? Well, it was the one who did something, the one who acted. The other two, didn't even seem to have a feeling, but let's just pretend they did have a feeling. "Oh, well, that's terrible what I see over there, but I'm going to walk right past it." That feeling of seeing someone that's in need and doing nothing about it certainly is not mercy, and we understand that. So mercy is sometimes described as not giving somebody what they deserve, that somebody deserves something bad and we don't give them anything, we don't do anything. And so sometimes people look at mercy in that way. We're not going to give somebody what they rightly deserve when we think they deserve something bad. And there is some truth to that, but I don't think that's a complete definition for mercy. Mercy is not merely just, I'm going to refuse to bring judgment. I'm going to, he deserves a spanking and I'm not going to spank him. So I'm showing him mercy. Well, yeah, I would have liked that kind of mercy growing up, but that's not exactly what mercy is. It's not merely refusing to bring judgment on those who deserve judgment, but it's genuine compassion that's expressed with genuine help. And that's what we see in the Scriptures. It's selfless concern that is shown in acts that show that we are not selfish, but we are selfless. And the people in God's kingdom are those who should be givers of mercy. Matthew 23, verse 23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So the things that they were tithing, yes, they should have been tithing those things, but they were leaving other things undone. And it's very interesting what it is that they left undone. They left undone mercy and judgment. So Jesus is saying that this is a weighty manner of the law, and you should not have neglected that. But mercy was not real characteristic of people in the first century. I don't think it's very characteristic of people today either. Do we want to show mercy to others? One popular Roman philosopher called mercy the disease of the soul. So that mercy is something that's distasteful and bad. And that what he was saying is that somebody that shows mercy is somebody that's weak. It's a sign of supreme weakness. And you see this in the Jewish culture as well. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And you see, that's really the opposite of mercy there. To love your neighbor and hate your enemy, well, that was the way that people would prefer to be. And not hard to do that, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Everybody can do that. And you see in that culture and others that there may be times when we don't want to be merciful, that we want to give people what we think that they deserve. So I don't know that our world today is too far removed spiritually from what the Roman world was when Jesus gave these statements, because people will say, if you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. And how many times do you hear that? And we hear that in the business world today. Another slogan, and you may see that on a bumper sticker on a car that says, "I don't get mad, I get even." Well, you don't want to cut that person off in traffic, right? Is that really the attitude that somebody should have? And while a lot of people will not go as far as actually to put it on their car as a statement, they'll live that way. And they do. They're not going to get mad, they're going to get even. And so that they're going that extra step. So people are treated like things. Power is the supreme deity. And financial success is the most important thing in life. And so this saying to show no mercy is something that a lot of people say without any hint of remorse or any hint that maybe that's not a good statement. People say it proudly. They say it in sports, they say it in business, they say it in sales, to show no mercy. And, one of the things that in my line of business, and maybe in a lot of other businesses as well, when you're dealing with a competitor or trying to sell against a competitor, is the initials FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And so that you're trying to plant fear, uncertainty, and doubt in people when it comes in regard to some other business or some other competitor. And so the idea is you're going to stomp the competition. You're not going to show any mercy. And maybe Regions does that too. They're going to stomp on all the credit unions. Mercy is a weakness in the minds of many people. But, you know, when it comes to God, we can certainly be thankful that, God is full of mercy. We see the mercy of God. We see the mercy of Jesus on many different occasions. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus sees the crowds, it says he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I always like that picture of Jesus seeing the sheep that are lost and having compassion on them, because he doesn't want them wandering around. He does not want them to be helpless. He doesn't want them to be in danger. And so it's a beautiful picture of Jesus and the compassion he had. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So you see a pattern here that when Jesus sees these crowds, that he has an affection for them. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and nothing to eat. I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way." So this is just a few different occasions here where Jesus looked at people. He was moved with pity. He was moved with compassion. When Jesus showed compassion for the woman who was caught in adultery, you know, there were others that, you know, they thought that Jesus shouldn't have had mercy on her. And they criticized him for that. And Jesus said, "Those you without sin, you cast the first stone." Jesus always showed compassion and love toward the people. And probably that's one of the things that attracts us to Jesus, because we see that in him. And we may not see that same emotion in ourselves, or that same outpouring of love in ourselves. He truly cared for people. He had a legitimate concern for their needs and their difficulties. Not only that, he was actually able to do something about it. He was able to take care of those needs by the gift of his sacrifice. But the sad thing is that we really can see, you know, the ugliness of the human heart when we look at the religious leaders and how they treated Jesus. And what you notice in the Gospels is that the more and more that Jesus showed mercy and compassion, the less and less the religious leaders liked him. They hated Jesus. They looked for opportunities to kill him. And it grew and grew so much that they ended up nailing him to the cross. But even when hanging on the cross, we see Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So even when it was the ultimate symbol of how they had rejected him, he is still moved with compassion. And one thing that we want to notice when we look at mercy, I think these two things are interlinked, but there is a distinction between mercy and forgiveness. The mercy of our Lord is the basis of his desire to forgive us. You know, so there's a difference. You know, Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So this mercy that he had toward us is the basis on which he offered forgiveness or extended forgiveness to us so that our sins can be washed away. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." So here Paul makes a distinction between mercy and forgiveness. God is rich with mercy. He is rich with great love for us. He saved us and made us alive together with Christ. He gave us the opportunity for forgiveness. And this is one of the reasons that we should also be merciful to others. It's because of the mercy that's shown to us. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." Of course, that's a very high command for us to be. We may think that we're merciful, but when that is put on there, that we're to be merciful like like our Father is merciful, you know, that's a step up that's hard for us to reach. So the mercy of God should be something that's in our hearts. It should be something that we think about when we partake of the Lord's Supper. It should be something that we think about when we're partaking, that because the mercy of God that we have experienced and the forgiveness that we can have because of the mercy of God, that's given us something to think about every week. And if we have a lack of forgiveness and unwillingness to show mercy and forgiveness to others, it really is a sad thing. We need to be merciful. We need to be forgiving. And that is really the challenge of mercy. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, I think mercy is something that a lot of people don't have. It's difficult. It's something that our society really frowns upon. But showing mercy will make us vulnerable. We may be hurt by what others say and do to us. We may extend help to others without any reciprocation or any thanks. And we give of ourselves to those who need us. And we should do that without any regard for receiving something in return. I'm going to use another camp illustration, but we have a thing called Happy Mail. And Happy Mail is supposed to be happy, and we screen that to make sure that it is. But people write little notes to one another. And so one of the things that's interesting, if you are a person that is going through the Happy Mail, you see what comments they're making. And Lodge 17 is a staff lodge, and so it gets the least amount of Happy Mail. And we feel like we're doing the most for the camp, but we're getting the least amount of mail from the kids. And I'm just kind of kidding about that. But when we look at the Happy Mail, you know, there are some kids that actually will write a note to the directors, or they'll write a note to somebody else that's a staff member. And so that really stands out to you, that they are realizing that there was some planning and there was some work that went into putting camp together. And so those kind of things are very nice. But, you know, if Jarrell and I were doing camp because of the amount of Happy Mail we were getting, we would have quit a long time ago, because we are not getting a massive amount of Happy Mail. And I'm not saying this so people can listen to it on the internet and I'll be like Charlie Brown and get a lot of Valentines finally. But no, what it shows and what we see is that you can see results of your work. You can see that there is a positive benefit. And mercy and forgiveness and the way that we interact with others, it should never be because we're expecting to get something in return. I'm doing camp, so I'll get Happy Mail. No. I'm doing this for that person because I want to be seen by others as being a person that does good deeds. I'm going to do these things publicly so everybody can see, you know, what a great person I am. You know, Jesus condemned that in the scribes and Pharisees and said that the things that they did that were good, they did for personal reasons. They did because they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be recognized. And mercy doesn't behave in that way. We are to show mercy, but we're not to do that just because we think it's going to help ourselves. Sometimes we really misunderstand mercy. Mercy does not mean that we ignore things that should not be ignored. Mercy does not mean that sin is ignored. And God is merciful toward us, but He doesn't ignore our sin. So you can be merciful and not ignore sin. Mercy realizes the reality of sin. Mercy has the recognition of wrongdoing. And Jesus didn't show mercy by pretending, oh, well, there's nothing wrong here, that people are not sinning. Jesus, He was being merciful by identifying sins and giving them hope for forgiveness through Him. And so one of the things that we can do that is merciful, that may be kind of surprising to those in the world, mercy can be shown in identifying what needs to change so that you can have a home in heaven. And some may think, well, that's, you're being critical of me. No, I'm telling you how you don't have to be lost. I'm telling you how you don't have to miss out on heaven and miss out on a relationship with God. You know, that's true mercy that identifies sin and shows a way of reconciliation to God. So mercy can do the ultimate good toward another person by leading them to Christ. And so we should not, you know, lose sight of that impact. Jesus, really focused on mercy quite a bit in the Gospels. And we should understand that it's something that we should put on ourselves and be merciful to others. And we are merciful to others because we have received mercy from God. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, probably one of the more known of the phrases that you find in the prophets, what does God require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. There's been many sermons that have been focused just on the points that you see in this verse. And it is something that God wants us to focus on. This is what God wants. For you to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God. To be merciful. One of the greatest statements that you see in the Gospels is in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. When Jesus is telling the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and the publican won't even look up, and he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. What is being illustrated there is that God is showing mercy to the one who recognizes his place before God. And the ones that Jesus was addressing there, they were not being merciful to anybody. You could hear it in the prayer of the Pharisee, who was thankful for who he was and what he had done, and he wasn't like this other guy. In James chapter 2, verse 13, this is a very terrifying passage. It says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." So you see the signs that say no mercy. You think that's a great thing? It's not a great thing. James says mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And so that is a very terrifying thing to hear, that you're not going to get mercy if you haven't shown any. But we have another saying is, well, that person's getting what they deserve. Is that really what we want to happen? Is that what you want to happen to you? Do you want to get what it is that you deserve? Well, the mercy of Christ means that we don't get what we deserve. And we shouldn't want anybody else to get what they deserve. All of us here have made many, many mistakes. And we don't want to get what we deserve. But, you know, when it comes to dealing with others, sometimes we lose sight of who we are and where we've been and what Christ has done for us. We want others to be merciful toward us, and we want God to be merciful toward us. So what does that mean we do for others? Mercy toward others is something that should be part of who we are as Christians. It's important, and it certainly is one of the items here that Jesus outlines in the Beatitudes, that he wants others to be merciful. And he's talking to a bunch of people that may not be willing or have had the inclination to do that in the past. But when he gave himself for us on the cross, he showed mercy to us in the ultimate way. Matthew chapter 18, verse 33 says, "And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" If you remember that parable, you know, there's the the one who has been forgiven a great debt. And then he goes out and finds the one who owed a little bit and sends him to the dungeon. So here is, or to the tormentors. Should you not have had mercy? Well, the answer obviously is yes. You've been forgiven of a lot, and you're not willing to forgive someone else of a little. You need to have mercy, and that's what God compels us to do, to be kind, compassionate, and merciful toward others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I want to receive mercy. I know that you do too. We need that. And so we've been told how it is that we need to do that. If you want to have mercy, then you be merciful. It's as simple as that. And if you don't remember anything else from the lesson, just remember that. If you want mercy, then you be merciful. If we can help you in any way tonight to respond to the invitation, we'd like to come while we stand and sing.
There is somehow.